Three, two, one.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Miss you, Peggy. Showtime!
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the show, let's go direct to DLNTS.org. And IRC channel is a linuxlink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 846 of the Linux Link Tech Show for February 26, 2020. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
Lion Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command.
And Joe.
Hello.
And I have a question.
And I have an answer.
So I was just going through some of my email, and I received an email from PayPal support. Now I have
is PayPal banning you because of all the gun content?
No, I have to say this email looked really good. And I had to do a double take on it because I'm like,
they needed to confirm your password because there was a breach.
No,
it didn't have any horrible misspellings.
It didn't.
Was it somebody from Nigeria offering to give you a lot of money on PayPal?
No, it said all.
I'm out. I got nothing.
Hello, you sent a payment of $348.99 to Microcomputer Security LLC.
Uh oh.
And it said all that information in there, and I'm like, looking, and it looks just like something you would get from PayPal, right? And I'm looking all around, and there's like numbers in here to dispute.
Did a Nigerian prince buy Microcomputers LLC and want to give you 10 times the amount back?
Mm-hmm. Well, but see, what I don't get is it says, like, the email is PayPal support. And it's actually payment confirmation pay17@gmail.com.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, there you go. Right?
So, but I'm
so
like,
they just spoofed.
Yeah, but I'm looking through this and I'm like, what's the catch? There's no attachment. There's no link. The only thing in here is a number to change for assistance.
Is they're looking to confirm that you have PayPal and maybe they're going to leverage something off that.
Well, what though? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe they figured a hack on PayPal and all they need is people's email addresses.
But what does this do? Because the only thing in here is basically a phone number to call, right? Now, maybe that's it, but there's no links. Normally,
maybe
you have like a link
a phone
that would
number
say,
database
like,
of PayPal users. I don't know.
Normally, you'd see something in here that would say, like, oh, click this to dispute it, and then, you know.
No, they detected a problem on your computer, and you need to call them so that they can fix it for you, right?
Your Windows computer is no longer receiving updates.
Damn that. Yes. Where is my Windows computer, and why isn't it getting updates? Oh, I don't have
it's
one.
It's at the store.
But I guess I'm like, what's the point of this? What's the point of it unless you want me to try and call that phone number?
You know, it's
the phone number 867-5309?
Yeah, right. No, it's the funniest thing. It's like this week I got, and I did a double and triple take mostly because our anti-fish.
Did they get them? Because that would be very good.
Not yet.
Are you sure?
I don't know. But what I was going to say is this was the second email this week. One was to my work email that was from, it made it look like it was from like MSN support or some Microsoft support and that I hadn't done an update. Microsoft
support. Yeah. Right?
But no, it was well done. And I looked at it and I'm like, obviously this is a phishing scheme, but it looks so well done that I almost suspected it was like one of those things where like your company would send a bunch of those out just to see if they would catch anybody.
Yeah.
Oh man, that totally sucks when they do the phishing.
Yeah, and I looked at that and I'm like, it looks it looks so good and whatever. So I contacted the one support person that's in my area, and I'm like, I got this email and I feel like I should forward it to somebody, but I don't know who to forward it to, you know.
You don't have an anti-phishing team?
We do. I forget who it is.
See, here's what I do.
Contacting her. So I
is when it's employee work and they want me to do a survey or something like that, and I just say it's phishing, and I send it to them, and I never get it back.
You never get it back. But so I don't have to fill out. I contacted her, and she said, oh, I got one too, and it looks like it's more widespread, but they're aware of it. And so I'm like, it was really well done. But I am looking.
Yeah. The worst part, though, is they send you those anti-phishing ones, and then you get one that's actually a real thing, which is kind of what happened today, and I did it. Double and triple take on it because they sent me one for Bright Plan, which is a financial planning service that we can get as part of our benefits package. But I got an email from them. I'm like, what in the world? And I'm like, I'm looking and looking and looking, and I'm like, let me log into the benefits portal. And oh, okay, it's real. I'm like,
oh yeah, we get like links log into the benefits portal. Your recently requested vacation. It's like, oh, I gotta click. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, that's some of them. But
or they did one like there was a memo that just came out about parking, and then they did a phishing one about parking. I'm like, you
right.
You know, I figured it out, but.
Well, my thing is they have their benefits companies that send emails that fit the phishing profile, and I'm like,
oh, sure.
Don't you tell them not to do that, you know? Because now it's like, well, when do you click on it? You know, do you click on it, or you know, what do you do? You know, but oh well, you know. But thankfully, the any phishing ones are getting pretty dang good, at least with the ones they my company been sending out.
Ah, look at this. Ah, they blew it. They should have cut while they were ahead.
Got another mail?
No.
Situation being seen.
I have four emails from the same thing, and with different phone numbers to call in. So
I know what it is. They're probably like 900 numbers. It may not be a 900 number, but somehow they charge you on the back end.
It's an 855 is one of them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm trying to figure out what the heck is like
8675309.
And you know, and another thing that I just the other one's like a 1-800 number. Weird. The other thing that I just noticed is that I was like, all right, let me double check. I'm going to go over and log into my PayPal account just to make sure that there's nothing on there. Obviously, no transactions whatsoever, activity against right. that. But I do have two bills that need to be paid. I have two outstanding bills, an invoice from Bahatoba Hataba, and I can't even read the other one.
You're buying Jewish stuff?
I have no idea. Like, I'm like, well, that's pretty crafty. You just send an invoice to somebody's PayPal account. And I guess people look at that and we're like, I guess so. Click, whatever. Good. Bravo to them. Bravo to those sneaky sons of bitches.
I can't believe I'm on autotempest.com and there's no Koenigseggs listed to buy.
Why would you want one of them anyway, man? They're just outrageously expensive.
Dude, if you're flying rich, you got the money.
Right.
Well, I was looking at the 2019 Lamborghini Urus. It's only $229,000.
Used. Only.
Only.
With 2,500 miles on it.
It's like the Bentley SUV that Doug DeMuro reviewed last week.
Here's a 2018 Lamborghini Huracan Performante, 4,500 miles, 259,000.
My dad got a convertible Camaro to drive temporarily when they were fixing the heater core in his truck.
Was it a Lamborghini?
A Camaro, dude? Come on, dude.
Oh.
Too bad it's too dang cold in Tennessee for him to actually take advantage of it and pop that top down.
Oh, here's a cheap one. Gallardo 2004, 72,000.
What's wrong with it?
49,000 miles on it.
How much?
That's what's wrong with it.
49,000.
Yeah, it's probably needs at least one major service where they have to, I don't know. Is Lamborghini as bad as Ferrari where you have to take the whole engine out?
Wait, did you say 2004?
Yes.
A 2004 Lamborghini with 49,000 miles on it?
Yep.
That's a lot of miles for a Lamborghini.
A lot of miles for a Lambo.
What? Well, so, I mean, what is like the average?
All right, here's a 2019.
I would look at that and say, that's like.
There's a 2019 Lambo Huracan LP580 in Amityville, New York, not too far from my original home, 334 miles on it.
Yeah. No price. Oh, see, that's
334 miles?
That's pretty new.
And no price on it.
What's the year?
It's expensive.
2019.
Yeah, but I mean, like 2004, my 2007 Honda Fit has like three times. No way.
Right. That's
49,000 miles.
Damn right, Dan.
That's because the Honda Fit's made to be driven.
That's like eight times the amount of miles.
Right.
On my Honda Fit than that.
My 2015 Genesis Coupe has like 67,000 miles on it.
And have you been looking to replace that Fit? Because if I remember right, you said it kept breaking down.
No, it hasn't broken down. Yeah, I say the alternator is looking kind of iffy, right. And the cost to do all that work is far exceeds what I would like to put into it. Because I mean, we're looking to probably get rid of it maybe the end of this summer, and I don't really drive it anywhere that much anymore. So.
Yep. Oh heck, it's like,
and it runs like a top, and I'm not complaining.
I thought the mileage on that wasn't so good.
Yeah,
the mileage on what?
The Fit.
That gets pretty good mileage. Yeah. Like when I would drive,
it gets better than my Traverse does. I guarantee you that.
When I was driving to work, I would have to fill up once on the weekend, and then towards the middle of the week, end of the week, and that was doing like an hour. 45 minutes to an hour drive each way. So hour and a half driving.
See, I have now, granted, my Traverse would not get that good of gas mileage, but I'll fill that thing up in a tank of gas. It'll last me 2 weeks, but then I work from the home.
You don't leave the house.
Yeah. That's like me saying.
Correct.
Yeah, I put a tank of gas in like once a month, if that, on the Fit now. I don't go anywhere.
It's 150 miles one way to work for me.
But Thea, you're putting a tank of gas in halfway to work, aren't you?
Practically, huh?
No, I can make it all the way. I actually could make a round trip without refueling, but I'd be on fumes.
Yeah, like in my Fit, I can drive from here to my parents' house in Pennsylvania on a tank of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the range on a tank? Like 300 miles, 400 miles?
Yeah, that roughly that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. It's like a six-hour drive, so you figure like 300 and some miles between here and there.
My Traverse can make it from here to Knoxville one tank, although I'm sucking fumes by the time I get there, though.
And you're doing
well. I'm looking to drive to Tennessee for the NRA annual meeting, and it's a 12-hour drive. And Gas Buddy will compute your gas stops for best efficiency. In a lot of places, it's telling you not to fill up all the way because I guess the next gas station is cheaper.
Cheaper, right? Huh.
So, interesting algorithm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
so how far does that, like, So what does that take you to then when you look at that? Like, how far is, say, by the time you reach that first fuel point where you're not getting a full fill up, how much it's like should you be at?
2.5 hours worth of driving to the first stop. So I'd be leaving from Jupiter, Florida, and about just north of Orlando. So for me, it'd be 2.5 hours of driving. For a normal human, it might be 3 hours or more.
Are you saying you break the law?
Wait a second. I'm saying the paint's peeling off my car because of the heat, of the friction.
You know, you just mean you don't stop for pee breaks, right? That's what you're saying.
I got a relief tube installed.
Yeah, there you go.
Relief tube.
Little funnel, right?
So by the time you get to that first point, you're going to be what? 3/4 of a tank gone?
Yeah, pretty much. That's okay. Interesting. I didn't compute that, but yeah.
And then you buy gas. That's like the cheapest place to buy gas to get you to the next cheapest place where you would fill up.
Right.
And then, okay.
Huh.
Yeah, because, I mean, normally what I would do is, you know, I basically ride out the tank, you know, until I have like 40 gallons left. I don't want to go below 40 in case you're on a big gap of highway and there's no gas for a while. You know, once I start getting below 100, I start figuring where the next gas station is.
Mm-hmm. 40 miles?
Yeah, that they're like once I get below 100, I want to start making sure that there's regular exits. Right. It's not like you're on the New York Thruway where it's going to be 2 miles between exits.
Uh-huh. When you have distance till empty is 100 miles, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
I love having that feature on my car where I basically when I'm driving distance, I'll put that up instead of the odometer. That way I can just look down and say, oh, I got quite a few more miles before I had to stop, you know.
So, you know what? You know why I don't like that feature? I'll tell you why I don't like that feature. Because I get in the car and I turn it on and it's like on empty. And I'm like, come on. Now I got to go fill it up. And like everybody else is like, well, what's the distance till empty? I'm like, 20 miles? Well, I don't have to fill it up now. You just get it next time. Like, eventually, go fill it up.
So this is pretty cool because I forgot I did this earlier today. So it asks you for vehicle information. So I fill in 2015 Hyundai. In mine, it actually has the very specific model, the 3.8 Ultimate two-door, 3.8-liter six-speed manual. It has the 8-speed automatic listed, so it knows the gas mileage of the very specific car you have.
Gas buddy.
So it then computes. I think it's a different number than earlier today. So it says total trip cost. The round trip is $190.48. It's doing my.
Did you compare that with a Greyhound?
Yeah, if I want to get there in 12 hours, not 36, yes.
I should do that to Goshen.
Last time I rode the Greyhound was from Oshkosh, Wisconsin to Milwaukee. Was it Milwaukee? No, Green Bay.
It was from Knoxville to Columbus after Mom died.
I'm a little surprised at this because it's telling me, it doesn't give me miles between stops. But it's telling me if I leave Jupiter, I should stop north of Orlando in Oakland, Florida. It's going to be $2.92 a gallon, which I think is outrageous, and only get 6.67 gallons. Meanwhile, I probably could take, you know, 10 gallons. It's telling me only to get 6.67. And then, you know, it's calculating further out. Oh, maybe I didn't hit unleaded. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, it's on premium gas. Let me recalculate with regular unleaded. All right, so it's $149.67. Let's see if the gallon amount is still the same on the first couple of stops. Yeah, I see. Definitely at fill number one, I would have burned easily 3/4 of the gas in my car, not just 6.67 gallons. But maybe it's looking to get me to fill number two, which is 5 cents a gallon cheaper. And then, let's see. Yeah,
how many times are you going to get a fill on this trip?
4 times on the way up, where I would probably stop, 800 miles, I'd probably make 3 stops. So it's adding an extra stop.
Well, that's kind of cool.
I have a somewhat related question, because I'm curious about this and whether any of you guys know this, but... if you roll into town late at night and the gas stations are closed, are the pumps still operational where you could pay with a credit card?
Nope.
Or not?
No, sir.
No. Airports, if you do that with fuel in a self-serve pump in your airplane, the answer is yes.
I know in Iowa they actually have gas stations out in the middle of nowhere. That's basically just, you know, a covered area with gas pumps that are open all night.
Nothing else.
Yeah, right. It's well lit, but so yeah, anytime you can get gas from there as long as
really?
You have a credit card.
Oh yeah. Wow, because I've never run into that. There's always been a human.
The reason why
I have one of those here in Columbus too.
That one year I went to Ohio Linux Fest and I cut through the mountains. Unfortunately, right. I should not have done that. I ended up in a town almost out of gas, and nothing was open, but I tried a pump, and I was able to get gas out of it.
Oh, wow.
With my credit card. Yeah, so now I have heard people say, yes, in some places that is the case, and you can do that. And some people, and I've even seen like places advertise like 24 hours gas, even though they're not open. But I'm not 100% sure, right?
Uh-huh.
What the deal is with that?
Yep. That's interesting. I know in certain places, maybe that's what we should do. Because my son's like, I want to go somewhere when we have spring break. And I'm like, okay. So maybe we can do that instead. Well, go to a
gas station.
No, go from here to Hershey to go see my aunt. But park's not open though at this time of year. So the only thing that will be open is like Chocolate World. But when you drive on a turnpike, they're always open. It doesn't matter whether it could be 3 a.m. You can pull into one of the service areas there, and about the only thing you might not be able to do is eat. You know, like hot food. You can get like something from the vending machine or something like that, but
you had me at Chocolate World.
Chocolate World, I know, right?
They obviously don't take into account. I just ran the numbers on Gas Buddy, and based on my mileage, they just don't take into account how I drive.
So, well, it's like I calculated...
Based on the number of gallons, I would never make it.
From here to Goshen for the Midwest Rep Rap Festival, which I'll be going to here a little bit more than a month.
So are you going to get a selfie with Thomas Sandelator?
If he's there, maybe, yeah. I know. What's funny is... I have a friend here. I may end up going with a friend. I have a friend who's also a ham radio operator who's way more into 3D printing than either me or you. He's got 6 printers or some crazy
Did he 3D print his wife?
No. No.
Sorry, so he's not more into 3D.
He married well. But, no, I haven't heard back from him because one of the problems is, see, I've got a room in a Holiday Inn Express, and I would go to their website to check because I wanted to see if I can, because what if my reservation was like for a king, I wanted to see if I get a double. And the only thing I can do is go to a suite, which would give me a sofa bed as well. Which would be like another $20 or $30.
Bring an air mattress with you. Yeah. It's cool.
But so I don't know. He. I mean, at the very least, I know he's gonna go to. We may end up having our rooms, but that's okay. It's kind of cool. And I'm trying to think if. Well, I guess I'm not gonna go to our conference unless they magically change policies or something. But but. Because our conference is in Orlando this year, so it's right in the same area as our headquarters down there. But that's also like I would have to leave Columbus at on the 5th to make it there on time. So I'd probably, you know, depending on schedules, I may have to come back Saturday instead of Sunday after the show. So.
But just fly in and out of where's it? Where's Midwest Rep?
It's in Goshen, Indiana.
Yeah,
dude.
Just leave your car in Goshen at the nearest airport. What's that?
Elkhart.
Yeah, see, that'll work.
I don't know. That might be a possibility, but yeah, we'll see. But no, I'd rather drive home to fly out of Port Columbus, to be honest. It'd be cheaper anyway. Fly from Port Columbus, at least I can might have a chance to get a direct flight if I have to go down there. But right now, it's not looking like that, though. So actually, right now, also happens to that weekend also happens to be my next weekend on call after next week. And I'm like, you know, hey, guys, I can cover the earlier part of the week, but I need somebody to cover Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I heard crickets. But I want to mention it tomorrow on our scrum and say, hey, I need somebody to cover for me because I'm out. But I mean, it's one of those things where I probably could go, although Friday driving would not be fun if I had to stop for a P1. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm going, like I said, probably going to go by myself, depending on if I end up working a deal out with my buddy, we might ride, probably still take my car, because I think I've got a bigger car. He's got the hybrid version of the Ford Fusion. He actually has two of them. He has one, and his wife has one.
Dude, you got to go in the hybrid, then. You're getting 40 miles to a gallon in that. My wife's hybrid is real good. I definitely appreciate that car. Plus, it's like whisper smooth at 100 miles an hour.
It's our plug-in.
Dun, dun.
They got him!
It was a Popeye's chicken sandwich from Uber Eats that got him.
Uber Eats Popeye chicken. He could have done like Jared. He could have walked to the Popeyes, and he could have lost all the weight eating Popeyes chicken. And then whatever with the kids.
Mm-hmm. It was one of those, you know, I've got a brilliant restaurant idea for someone. Create a restaurant called either one of these two names. Call the restaurant I Don't Care or I Don't Know.
I would call it just what WTF are we eating?
Yeah. But because 9 times out of 10, you, what do you want for dinner? I don't know.
Oh, okay. No. See, this is how it works. I ask my wife what she wants. I don't know. Well, what do you want? I'm not sure. No, really, where do you want to go? Like, oh, you know the place down by the light? I don't want to go there. Let's go here.
Right.
I'm like, can we just cut to the chase? I'm not going to suggest where we go so you can shoot it down. Mm-hmm. Just tell me where you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they'll say, I don't care. You're like, fine, I'm going to order a pizza. No, I don't want pizza. I hate that.
How's that air fryer doing?
Haven't used it
with
in a while.
Pizza.
I need to get something.
You can make a pizza in the air fryer, can't you?
You can. You can. I actually have. I actually have the.
Wait,
I
don't. I don't understand this mystery of the air fryer. Is it just basically a convection oven?
Yes.
Basically, yes. Yes.
It's an air fryer, right?
So they just call it something different, so you spend money on it because you think it's different than your convection oven.
You know what, though? It does a great job, and I don't give a crap whether it's a convection oven or not.
Do you have a convection oven, Rich?
No, I believe I do.
Because I don't. I wish I did, but I've never had a convection oven in any of the places.
Yeah, I think my regular oven and my toaster oven.
The only thing I kind of wish I had that I don't have is a sous vide, but...
They're pretty damn cheap, man. You get one for like $130.
Don't tell me. I don't need
mine's. I got mine. It was like 100 and some bucks. It's been going what 4 or 5 years now.
Wait, you can probably just let the meat go all day and then just give it a sear and it's ready to go.
Damn, I mean, you make could sure you time that, mark that, so you can cut that out.
Yeah, whatever. But no. You talk about making the pizza in the air fryer. I actually have done that. I bought the cauliflower pizza crusts that they have at the store that are made out of cauliflower. And then they're just the right size. It'll fit on one of the grids in my air fryer. And it does a really good job, actually. And I've heard you can heat up your, like if you have a delivery or something, pizza, that you can heat it up in the air fryer. I haven't tried that yet either. I need to try that.
I made a pizza today that would make Pat cry.
Uh-oh. Did it have pineapple on it?
No. I used my leftover sourdough. I guess I do like once a week either that.
Yes, that would make him cry.
So I made a crust out of that.
Barbecue chicken, that's what it was.
And then it was, I had some Mexican cheese. And I have my homemade salsa that I canned over the summer. And I'm like, we had some of it open. I'm like, I'm just going to slap some salsa on here, throw some of that cheese on there.
That's what she said.
Some hot peppers and olives, a little bit of taco seasoning I made, and put some of the creme fraiche I had left over. Oh, damn, that was so good. It was so good.
I need to do quesadillas this week,
I did fajitas on... I rolled out the tortillas on Sunday. Woo! That was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I had to feed. Oh man, those fajitas were so good.
Oh, and also reminds me, I need to get some crock pot stuff for next week when I'm on call. That way, before I go to either right after I get home from the gym, because I don't start work until 11 o'clock. So, either right before I go to the gym or right after. I get back, throw everything in the crock pot. It's ready at 5 o'clock.
Before you throw that Popeye's chicken sandwich in the crock pot, right?
You know, it's not that, but somewhere I heard where there you take like a. I think this happens in either China or Japan, where they'll take like an Instant Pot or something like that. They'll put rice in the bottom. And the water, but then you put like a whole Big Mac meal in there, like everything, including like the Coke or something crazy like that. I saw a couple YouTube videos on it, and I thought
with the Coke,
yeah.
And then what?
I thought you
eat it all together.
Rice. Yeah, you cook the rice or something like that.
You cook the rice with the Coke. With
chicken. Yeah,
that's disgusting.
I know.
It sounds pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Joe's writing that down. He's like, wait a minute. Get a Big Mac, throw it in a rice cooker with some rice. Instead of water, put video. Some Coke in there. That some vision. Do you know how a rice cooker works?
It's just it's like a pressure cooker. Well, actually, it's a steam cooker.
Do you know how it knows when to stop?
That, actually, I don't know.
So there's a great video on... called Technology Connections is a series. He did one on a rice cooker. There is a break switch in there when it reaches a certain temperature, because the way it works is water cannot reach a temperature at sea level and standard pressure. Water cannot reach a temperature greater than 212 degrees, right? So when you're cooking rice, rice cannot...
Yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. You got to say liquid water.
Liquid water.
Water.
This is what I'm talking about. Liquid. Yeah. Rice cannot... The temperature of rice cannot exceed like 212 degrees, the boiling point temperature of water, until all the water is absorbed or evaporated, and then the temperature will rise. So once it starts going up and reaches a certain temperature, like I was like somewhere around 213 or 15 or whatever it is, it flips that break switch and it turns it off.
Interesting. I don't have a rice cooker.
That I was like, damn, I always wondered how it worked, but that was pretty freaking cool. Cool concept.
You know why they wash rice, don't you?
What?
You know why they wash rice before they make sushi rice, right?
I wash my rice all the freaking time. It helps with the absorption, and it helps reduce a lot of the starch off of it. Yeah, and the dust. Yeah, I wash it my rice all the time and soak it for an hour. Joel, I'm serious about my rice.
I had fried rice on Monday, but it was from Panda China.
Panda China?
Yeah, I wanted
to. He left his self-respect at home.
I have no self-respect. When you haven't figured that out yet.
It's like going to Taco Casa.
Anyway. As opposed to what?
Anything else?
We don't have Taco Casa around here, so I don't know.
I wish we didn't have Taco Casa around here either.
Because when you say, like, Taco Casa already, I'm like, wow, that place sounds awesome. It's Taco House, but in Spanish, it's got to be good. It's like,
hey, Taco Bell buffalo chicken fried burrito is actually pretty dang good.
I think Taco Casa was trying to go halfway between Taco Bell and Taco Cabana.
What's Taco Cabana? Miserably.
Delicious.
What's Taco Bell?
Edible. Same thing you have, dude.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah, edible.
No, no, I guess what I meant from that perspective is, like, I don't know what Taco Bana is. Like, Cabana is, like, it sounds like it might
Taco
be a chain.
Taco Cabana instead, yeah, it is. No, it's not fast food, though, in general. It's an actual restaurant that actually does have a drive-through, but it's really decent food.
Right, so I was just curious as to where Taco Bell fell in regards to Taco Cabana, you know. Because out of, like, fast food restaurants, like, Taco Bell is one that I will eat at and like.
Well, if you have to choose between, you know, Taco Casa and getting your fingernails pulled out,
pull out
the pliers.
I guess that's why we don't have any around here, if they're not that good.
Taco Bell is... It's not great Mexican food, but in a pinch... It'll do.
Are you allowed to use the M word? I mean, you can't say Yo Quiero Taco Bell, and you can't have a dachshund on the stupid commercial anymore. What is a chihuahua?
It's a chihuahua, man. Dachshund, that was like Disney's... What was that movie back when we were kids, Joel?
With a dachshund?
The Great Danes and the Dachshunds. Dachshunds. It was a Disney show.
Talking Lady and the Tramp?
No, it wasn't Lady and the Tramp. I think Dick Cavett was in it or something like that.
101 Dalmatians.
But it was Dachshunds?
I think it's the Ugly Dachshund. Suburban Couple, Mark, Dean Jones, who's not... Dick Cavett, whoever it is, and Fran, Suzanne, Flachetti take their beloved Dachshund, Donkey, to the vet's office to deliver her first brood of puppies before they leave. The doctor persuades Sophia and Mark to adopt Brutus, a tiny puppy that's been abandoned by his mother, which is a Great Dane. Okay, that's the one I'm talking about. The Ugly Dachshund, sorry.
Yeah, I put a link to the Big Mac rice from Emmy Made in Japan.
Yeah, I'm not going to click that.
Yeah, it sounds disgusting, doesn't it?
Now, why did you choose Panda... Wait, was it Panda Express you got your...
Yeah, Panda Express, yeah.
Why Panda Express and not just, like, the nearest Chinese restaurant?
We don't takeout have many place. Good Chinese restaurants around here. We really don't.
Oh, it's because, like all
the closest ones... Chinese restaurant to me... Okay, there is a Chinese buffet over on High Street that is Chinese buffet, okay? So that's really all you need to say. It's a lot of food, plenty of it, you know. Then there's the questionable Chinese restaurant that's right across the street in the plaza there called Eastern Wok, and it's the kind where you go and you order sweet and sour pork, and it's basically the pork nuggets with the sweet and sour sauce, not even any pineapples or peppers in the sauce, just the sauce. So that's the quality we're talking there. The nearest place that's quality. Well, it's another buffet, but it's the Asian Star over on Bryce Road. It's that near closer to where I used to live. And they're a little bit better than the one closest to me. But then Mark Pies up on 161 Mark Pies China Dynasty, they're okay. They're probably the best one. Although the rice bowl's not too bad, and that's actually not too far from me. That's up by where the church that we merged with used to be, up on High Street, right before you get on 104. And they're not horrible, you know, but they're not cheap either. So, you know, I was looking for cheap. But I'm with you. I'm with you. There was a really good one. There's one time I saw them in the app. Where there's this restaurant that had pho, and I got it once, and oh, dude, it was awesome. You know, chicken pho, and it was, you know, just perfect. You know, the fresh jalapenos in there, and all the different things you have in pho. Oh, delicious. I need to teach myself how to make pho.
Depends on how far you want to go.
That's true.
Like it's not even, that hard to make. It's just
no.
You know, if you're gonna make your own,
it's like, do you want to make the stock on your own, yeah. or the stock. I mean, you can buy a pho stock easy.
Yeah, you can do that too.
Right, then you just buy like the jalapenos and the meat and stuff, and throw all that in there. See, the thing is, that's. But nobody else in the house, except for me.
You got lost again. What happened?
No, I'm here.
No, you stopped, like, you cut out.
I don't know. Weird.
I thought it was my connection for a second there.
Yeah, it happened. I heard it too, so.
Now, what I was saying is. I like pho, and I like to cook the different things like that, but my wife, not so much. She's the kind, you know, you can give her fried chicken every day, and she'd be fine with it. And don't get me wrong, I like fried chicken, but man, I want variety, man. In fact, I don't even make fried chicken on my own. Could.
You got air fryer, man. You can make fried chicken all day long.
Yeah. I don't know if I do air fryer. I don't know if I do chicken in an air fryer because it probably wouldn't come out. I mean, it might come out, but it just might not be exactly like you want it.
Did you not watch the Wolf Pit where he fried chicken in?
Did you see the Wolf Pit this week where he air fried two different
the Monterey,
$1 burritos? Yes.
Monterey burrito and the Olé.
What was the other one? Jose Olé.
Jose Olé.
Yeah. And not even the cheap ones of those either. He went for the Zsa one with the shredded beef in it. No ground beef for the wolf pit. Neither one of them were very good. The El Monterey man's like, what, 5 layers of tortillas on the one side of it? Ugh.
Yeah, that one was kind of bad. I've had those before. They're not too bad, but
yeah, you know, they're okay, but let's face it. Who would the only wolf pit would air fry them things. I get those frozen burritos. Let's go in the microwave, baby. No one got time for that. Oh, you know what? One of the things I ate this week, Dan, for lunch, and I found it in the produce department. I'm trying to remember. I think it was at Meijer. It was a kohlrabi noodles with like a zesty marinara sauce on top of it. It was in a bowl in the produce department and had a little packet with the sauce in it. You just open that packet up, squirt the sauce on it, and microwave it for 3 minutes, and you got kohlrabi noodles. The whole thing was like 90 calories for the whole thing. I'm sure there was no meat sauce, and I'm fine with that.
Did you give the two Joel thumbs up? Two Jolies?
Well, the only thing is kohlrabi, shredded kohlrabi, which is essentially what it was. It kind of looks like noodles and like spaghetti a little bit. It's crunch, but spaghetti's not supposed to crunch, and this stuff crunched. But, I mean, once you get past the crunch, it actually was not too bad. I'd eat it again. I have tried like the zucchini spirals with a spaghetti sauce on top of it. That's actually pretty decent too, and fairly a lot lower carb than if you just had a regular pasta. Although I had regular pasta for the first time in a while this week. I bought one of them Stouffer's lasagnas that you pop in the oven, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we had for dinner last night. Yeah, it takes an hour and 55 minutes, but but it doesn't take too much to set, you know, heat up the oven, stick it in, and set a timer, and that's it. But when I did eat it, instead of just scooping out what I eat, I actually got out I got one of them little scales, you know, that you can measure your food out on. And put the plate on it, zeroed it out, and then put on it just what I should eat for one serving. And that's all I ate. Portion control's the biggest thing with anybody who's trying to lose weight. You know, our eyes are always bigger than what the serving size actually is. For sure.
Yeah. Had a fun experience today.
Uh-oh.
That was,
What was his name?
No, Jess. I was, we've been upgrading, our applications because end of life for, 8.9, the 8 series was January, so we're moving over to 12, which is the current, long-term supported release, and it's 12.16.1. And so I was working on the last application that remains to be migrated over, and I've been having one hell of a time with a test, and it was basically comparing a callback function as it called with exactly once was the check. It was the callback being called null in the document. And so I'm looking at this, and it's failing, right, this test. And I keep digging into it further. And now my JavaScript or Node experience is not as great as I would like it to be. So there's certain things that I don't know how to find, and I've tried a bunch of different things. But when I look at the comparison between the two, I'm like, well, the – what's being passed and what I can tell is what it's looking for are the same things. So we have is it a typing issue? Is one like considered a string and the other one is an object and it's just not showing this? What is going on? Well, come to find out, it had all had to do with the way that Node 12 has changed some of its await and synchronous asynchronous behavior. In that in the past, we had a asynchronous function that had a call in there, I think it was to a Couchbase, and it in the past was waiting until that call was completed, but now it wasn't waiting like that any longer and causing the function to just call back or not call back, complete the callback, but the function that called it continued on, and then it didn't match because by the time it did the check, the callback wasn't there yet, but the callback happened after it did the check because it happened synchronously. And so once I ran into that and we figured, you know, figured that was a problem, and look, I looked at that and said, holy shit, how many other places could this same behavior be happening in our code and somebody may not have written a check for it, or the check had not hit a certain threshold that would be tripped by this? You know, maybe it just happens to complete before it calls back, and that if there was a little more load on the system, that might not happen. Is this a problem? So it was kind of scary thinking about that, that there's a potential, and so far I haven't found anything, but there's a potential for a data corruption in that kind of situation. Right, Joel? Data corruption, baby.
Which is never good.
Gotta love data corruption. But aside from that, I mean, the container that we built for Node 12, everything's been working pretty good on that. So it's good times. And I didn't know if we did the Couchbase upgrades. We migrated over to 6.5 last week. I got that done really fast. I was surprised how fast we got that done. And that was a goodly amount of work, and now we're legit and on the most latest version. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it surprises me, right? Because one of the things that Enterprise Couchbase bills itself is allowing you to do in their feature set is to split out their services on Couchbase clusters. So you have an index, a query, and a data service. And, you know, data is for obviously holding the data. Indexing is a service that'll index that data, and the query service allows you to query the data. So you can see these services out on the different nodes in a cluster. So you have like no data nodes that just do specifically data and nothing else, and then like query and or index nodes that do just index and query and hold no data, and that's supposed to help with performance. And that's one of the big selling points of Enterprise Couchbase. And another thing, which is for both of them, but it's supposed to be a little more robust and featureific, is XDCR, cross data content replication. XDC, yeah. So that's basically, you know, you establish XDCR between two clusters, and it could go either one way or bidirectional, where if an update happens in one, it gets pushed over to the other, and vice versa if you have it going the other direction. And so the way that we do an upgrade like this from into a major version is we typically stand up another cluster with that new version, and then establish XDCR from the old one to the new one and allow replication to catch up so it transfers all the data. Now, once that's done, all you have to do is recreate the views and or indexes that on there, because that stuff doesn't get transferred. But we have that all automated anyway. Come to find out, as I set up the XDCR from the old cluster to the new, and that went fine. And so we were going from our old passive to our new passive, and then from our new passive to the new active. And I established a new passive to new active bidirectional XDCR in there. And as it started spinning up replication, it began throwing errors, but they weren't errors, they were like warnings. And the warning was essentially saying it couldn't find a replica of the data set or a master replica for the nozzle to establish from this node. And so I was like, shit, I can't find anything about this error message online. I'm not sure what is causing it. So I sent it to Couchbase support and got a response back from them. Oh, yeah, that's a bug that we need to fix. It's purely cosmetic. It results in when you have a node without any data on it, a index or a query and or index query node doesn't have data, it will throw that error because it can't establish a nozzle from that host. So I'm like, damn, that is your like big selling point. You think somebody would have tested that and seen there's an error being thrown. Maybe we should fix that before we go. That's our new release. And when I see little things like that, that like really like scares me. Like really simple things that should have been caught in QA. And I sit there and I'm like, what if that simple thing was missed? What else was missed? Right, Rich? What else was missed?
Yep. Or like in my case, like I have 3 or 4 different tickets open for lags in our UI, and a client actually found the ticket in our hub about that, and it's like, well, okay, we gotta wait till they fix it until this is actually resolved. But because it's those things where it was so random, you know, where it didn't make sense. When they were complaining about it, you look at the system was like not even breaking sweat. So it's like, I hate it when you run into bugs and you're like, well, I gotta wait for the next version to release.
Bum, bum, bum.
Mm-hmm.
What else are you going to do, huh?
I don't know what else I'm going to do. I'm going to put flooring downstairs.
I still haven't put together my 3D printer yet.
Why?
Got the parts for it now. Finding time.
Uh-huh.
This weekend is the latest it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Last couple of days I've ended up at work late, and then I get home and I just don't want to do much of anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was me when I got finished my shift today. I was like, no, I'm done. I should go to the gym, but nope, I'm done. I still got a couple more days this week to get my workout in. I try to go between 3 to 5 days. Usually I've been pretty good at 3. And I should be able to get 3 in. I should be able to go tomorrow. Part of it was because we had the guy come out to do the measuring from... Oh, wow. It's because the interesting thing about that kind of materials and stuff, like, if you... That's exactly what happened this time. They have more of the flooring that we use in the kitchen than in the hall bath, and which is the color my wife liked. But it's on clearance, and Lowe's will not install anything that's on clearance because they can't get more if they screw up. So anyway.
Where'd everybody go?
I don't know.
We're all taking naps.
Taking napping.
Naps. Yeah.
Putting together a 3D printer.
Yeah, I considered trying to do it during the show, but I got to take it out of the enclosure that it's in.
Oh, somebody built an enclosure for it?
Well, yeah. I bought an enclosure from somebody and then had to modify it to get that Mono Price Maker Select V2 to fit in there.
I need to think about buying stuff to make an enclosure. Especially if I want to do anything like ABS with it.
Yeah, evidently IKEA is a good place.
Black tables, dude. Two of them. Two of them, and I think you can get, like, flexi. Hello, kitty.
Yeah, somebody's happy.
That sounds like a baby.
Somebody's
kitty.
Somebody's getting some.
It sounds like a what? That,
a baby it's kitty.
No, she's not. She's a couple years old.
Meow. She's getting pets. That's what
so what's going on in the Linux world? Anything? Anybody got any Linux news?
New update of Manjaro.
Ooh.
Or new release of Manjaro I saw come across. It looked very pretty. But I don't use Manjaro. I just use straight Arch. Look good on Manjaro. It looks nice. Glad to see they're still
That's
going
junk
on.
That's Junk Sun, right?
That's it, right? There we go.
Just install Arch. Shouldn't play that commercial anymore. It's still got Fiddy in it.
Well, I know. What am I supposed to do?
I know. They got to make a new one.
That's it.
Joe, make a new one for him.
I'll think about it. I'll have to talk to Phil and see what he says.
Yep. Not planning on going to Southeast Linux Fest this year.
Too far of a drive?
I went 2 years in a row, so.
Oh, I plan on going this year.
Right.
You're going all over the place, Rich.
Yeah, it's getting so bad. I was thinking about joining a flying club so I could rent a plane and go places.
You're not going to put yours back together?
It's cheaper to go to join a flying club than put my plane back together.
The airframe's probably not airworthy anymore anyway for the one.
No, the airframe is the only thing that's working, right?
We'll sell it for parts.
How much could you get for that?
Probably a handshake.
Right.
Get more at the scrapyard.
No, there's no scrap. I mean, as far as there's no value in it. I mean, if I parted out the instruments and stuff like that and sold the engine after it got finished rebuilding, it'd probably be worth more money.
Got about another month and a half or so until we got the new Ubuntu release?
Well, yeah. April?
Yeah, April.
Probably around Alan's birthday.
Yeah. I don't even know what's in the next release yet.
The name of it?
Already? Well, yeah, or that even that, too. Yeah, I don't even know that yet.
It's Focal Fossa. And it's supposed to be released on April 23rd, 2020. The excitement is ever present.
My sister turns 40 next month. So I bought her a present on Amazon and sent it to her. It's the Complete Idiot's Guide to Menopause.
Nice.
So I'm expecting a phone call any day now.
Right.
That should be an interesting conversation.
Joe, what's your address? Because I need to send you a book on Amazon from Amazon. It's called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I think you could use some help.
My sister doesn't really have a choice. She's related to me.
Is she younger or older than you?
She's older than me.
Well, damn, how old are you? Like 30?
No, she's not that much older than me. I'll be turning 39 this year.
And good old Joel over there is like 53.
Are you guys Irish twins or something?
No.
Irish twins, I don't catch the reference.
That just means, you know, two kids born close together.
Well, we're a year apart in a couple of months.
You on call tonight?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
I'm on call every night.
You on call, Rich?
No, I haven't been on call in months. Because technically I'm no longer with that group.
I don't think I'm ever not on call.
How often do you get called, though, Joe? You get called a lot.
You know, it's a lot less anymore, so it's not very often. I don't know. I think it's been about 3 weeks since the last time I got called on a weekend. I was on a call not yesterday, but the day before at 8 p.m., so it has gotten a lot better.
That's good. Being on call kind of stinks.
Well, for me, it was rough because they sequestered me to, you know, 50 miles of the office.
50 that miles from the office or 50 miles correct. Closer to the office?
No, 50 miles from the office, which meant I would be 100 miles from home no matter what.
No remoting?
Well, nobody I know has ever been required to come in, but it's in case the VPN is down that you can't fix it remote.
Okay, I see.
Oh, so you were in charge of the VPN, so they're like, nope. You're going to be sitting right next to this box. And when the time expires, you put another quarter in there.
Right.
I guess the company I work for is just so massive that they're not worried about the VPN going down.
They have 20 of them, right?
Well, they probably got a few more than that. I mean, it is Bank of America.
What's in your wallet?
Bahaha.
Do you ever meet Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, no.
So do you work in Linux all the time at work, or do you do all operating systems?
Yeah. You know, I did a lot more with Linux a couple of years ago, and they slowly started moving away from it, and now it's mostly scheduling tools and monitoring tools, and I'm very rarely hands-on with Linux anymore at work.
So when they moved away, like, would they move towards more Microsoft stuff?
It's proprietary scheduling tools. Well, I'm sure you're familiar with, like, ITRS. Remedy.
I hated that also.
Yeah. That's the monitoring tool, one of the monitoring tools that we use. And then BOA has their own proprietary scheduling tool that we also use for monitoring. Well, set of tools.
Did they build that in-house, or did they Yes. contract that out?
No, they built it in-house.
And it was like, what does it run on top of?
Citrix.
Okay.
Another thing I hate. Hey, everybody see, there's a flaw in billions of Wi-Fi devices left communications open to eavesdropping.
No, what are you talking about?
It's slash
your router
article. No, it's actually the Wi-Fi chipsets. So I remember reading this earlier today. It said that a Raspberry Pi 3, yep, Raspberry Pi 3, Android devices, Kindles, Amazon Echoes, Macs, iMacs, iPads, iPhones are affected. And so it's a Broadcom chip. Cypress and Broadcom chips have a flaw, a vulnerability.
Huh. Great.
Wait, what's the problem with them?
Wi-Fi vulnerability for eavesdropping. Oh. Nearby attackers can decrypt sensitive data. Let's see if it tells what the hack is. So far, the only data says they can decrypt. So maybe the encryption isn't as good as it should be. Or it's not using a random key.
As they use the Wi-Fi Pi 4, sitting here talking to it.
Well, it said Pi 3, not Pi 4.
Yeah, okay, so I'm good then. Okay.
A key consisting of all zeros. Jesus!
Yeah.
That's an interesting way that they would have to get it. Yeah, interesting flaw.
Speaking of SBCs, did you get an Atomic Pi yet, Rich?
I've had an Atomic Pi for a long time.
Happy with it?
I kind of did a little bit of a smoke test. I set it up as a pfSense router with a second NIC on it. I got a YouTube video on that. And haven't really done anything else with it. I mean, there's a number of things I want to do with it. I have it in a box that I carry with me wherever I go in my car.
Yeah.
All right, when I have a few minutes to hack on something, I'll just jump on it.
It's like one of the things my boss always does during our B meeting.
Did he cut out again?
Yeah, it sounded like I didn't know if he was finished with what he was saying or he just got cut off.
I might have finished with what I was saying right then. But anyway, the boss will ask if I was working on anything cool, and I showed him my Pi that I'm talking to here. He's like, well, what are you going to do with it? I'm like, I don't know. What I'm doing with it right now, I just put Raspbian on it and playing around with it. It's not like I'm not planning on doing something specific with it.
I see that's interesting because that's a very common thing. People are like, well, what are you going to do with it? That would be a 20-minute conversation for me.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with it? What am I not going to do with it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the same thing. Well, to me, the Pi 4 is probably the first one that's just powerful enough. It literally could be a desktop replacement for a lot of people, yeah, especially with the 4K variant.
Yeah, Explaining Computers did a whole video on that.
I'm not quite sure if the software, if Raspbian is ready for a standalone desktop experience on the Pi 4.
Well, the only thing it doesn't work.
And there you cut out again.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. Things that
the only thing it doesn't work. Okay. Go ahead.
Is like things like Netflix, anything that works.
Yeah, Netflix is very blocked, but you can play Prime Video on there.
Yep. YouTube works as well. So
yeah. So DRM content is available to be played on there. It's just right, specifically correct. Netflix blocks the Pi, and I don't know why. And I have had a lot of trouble with audio switching.
Really?
Yes, between the HDMI. The 3.5 millimeter, and then, say, a USB sound card.
Right, yeah, like I have these USB speakers attached to it as well. So then when I attach this headset, I usually have to fiddle around with it. In fact, what's funny is like today, I made the
It's getting worse, Joel. It's happening more often. The cutouts.
That is so, so strange.
We're enjoying it, though, when it mutes you.
Mm-hmm. So, I have to, like, when I go to connect on Mumble, it will, I won't hear, like, the dun-dun-dun connection that you would normally hear. But it connects anyway, and it works.
Yeah, I know a lot of other people that I've talked to about the Pi 4 have had another complaint where you can't make it boot directly from the USB 3.0. And you could, evidently, with the Raspberry Pi 3 with some minimal configuration.
You know what? I think it's my keyboard. I'm sitting here. I was sitting here watching the little dude, and I saw the little things that indicate you're talking disappear when I was holding the keys down. So maybe it's batteries on the keyboard.
Maybe it's your wireless keyboard.
Well, the batteries on the wireless keyboard, yes.
No, but it could be the algorithm in the keyboard that's not going to do a continuous key press.
No, it works. It's just I've just got to be more cognizant of it and watching it. I might try and get like a wired keyboard that I can just put in here for that.
Sounds like I said a wired keyboard. Oh well.
I did say a wired keyboard. Haha.
Yeah, just move your keyboard closer for now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been working pretty well. But I wasn't actually looking at the screen when you said to cut it out. So now I'm looking at the screen. So I can at least tell when it cuts out. Actually, what I need to find out is if I can find like what I'd like to find is like a Bluetooth keyboard for it.
For what?
For my Pi.
Oh, is it the K480? Is it a good one?
You know what? I should try that. I have it.
My K480 works pretty good. I'm just having trouble with Bluetooth mouse.
Oh, hey, speaking of like wireless keyboards and Logitech stuff, do you know that the Logitech dongle can be reprogrammed?
So yes, in case you lose the unifying dongle? Receiver, yes.
Yes.
I just want to make sure everybody really knows well that. Because
in fact, it's cross-platform, the software to sync it up. Because yeah, well, I left a dongle in Jupiter, and I wasn't going to go back, and it was early in the week, so I just ordered another one on Amazon, had it the next day here in Orlando, and then just reprogrammed it, and I was able to use it.
Just a dongle?
Yeah, and you
Yes, I had the keyboard, not the dongle.
And you could attach up to, like, six devices to one receiver?
Oh, I didn't know
that.
So
you can mix and match your keyboard mouse combo.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time because I use the trackball mice, and they don't sell combos with keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually find Logitech keyboards and mice cheaper on eBay if you buy the ones without the unifying receiver, especially if you have a whole bunch of extra sitting around because you've bought a crap ton of trackball mice over the years that die.
Because it's not like the dongle dies, it's usually the mouse part for,
yep,
for sure. But yeah, I switched my wife. My wife had one of those keyboard sets. She had I forget which Logitech mouse she had. It was one of the notebook style ones, and hers just started to crap out. So I bought her a Bluetooth mouse instead, and she's been pretty happy with it. Plus, it frees up her USB port.
Yeah, well, the price is coming down on that MX Ergo from Logitech, mm-hmm, which is both unifying receiver and Bluetooth. So I might get one of those eventually.
A work laptop, I'm using a Logitech M557, which is a Bluetooth mouse. And it's the one I bought the... There it went again, huh? Mostly with the yoga that I have. So I switched over to that for my work laptop because I use the red one. I would use my red Logitech mouse with the dongle. I would use with my 17-inch Dell that I have, usually what I use for the show.
I did pick up a wired trackball mouse from Amazon. And it's a Perix. Now, when I first got it, it was a bit odd to use. But after a couple of months, it's kind of broken in a bit, and I've gotten used to it. And it's not bad. I don't have to replace batteries, and I don't have to worry about charging it. It stays right here anyway, so...
Yep.
And then what do you do with it?
I use it to control the pointer on my laptop.
That's right.
Sometimes I single click, sometimes I double click, sometimes I use the other button. It's called right clicking. There's this scroll wheel.
Yeah.
Which lets me scroll.
It's almost 10 o'clock.
Do you use trackball, Joel? I can see you using a trackball.
I don't use a trackball.
You don't use a trackball.
No.
Well, what else would you use sitting in your comfy chair?
I don't really have one of those nice comfy chairs like you got, Joe.
Everybody doesn't have a comfy chair at home?
You mean like a recliner?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, dude. No, I don't have a recliner.
I got some nice chairs.
Chair with arms. I mean, if you have a chair with arms that's, you know, not in front of a desk, then you need a trackball mouse.
If I use the laptop there, yes, but 9 times out of 10, if I'm out in my living room, I have probably just my phone or maybe a tablet or an iPad.
Man, you got a lot of freaking devices you have choices between. I'm like, or I look at my phone.
Right. I may take my Surface out there, and with that, I usually end up either... I very rarely will use a trackpad on the Surface. I have a matching Surface mouse. I'd like to get one of the Microsoft Arc mice. I almost bought one. I was dinking around at Goodwill, and I found one sitting on the shelf. But With those, you pretty much probably want to get a new one, because they have that soft touch rubbery cover on it. And if it's an older one and sits for a while, it kind of gets...
No, no, I have no problem buying a mouse that somebody else used a lot. No, no, it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. But the nice thing with the Arc mice is that when you're not using it, like when you turn it off, when you're packing it in your bag, it folds.
You're
flat.
Packing?
Not yet. Someday. Need to go to Vance's and shoot some.
Ooh, I went to a machine gun shoot on Sunday.
Oh boy, I bet you it was fun.
Guess what I did?
You shot a machine
Fired
gun.
Fired a machine gun.
Yes! How'd you know?
Fully automatic, huh?
Yeah, full outdoor. Semi-automatic. Yeah. I'm sorry, what was that?
So fully indoor, semi-automatic, yeah. Indoor or outdoor range, Rich?
Outdoor. There was a GIU. I didn't get to shoot that, but
Gatling gun. That's what you want to shoot, man.
And so this marks kind of a tragic point in my life. This is the first time I ever shot a machine gun, and I had to buy the ammo.
Oh, it's expensive.
Did you give it to you free your first anything?
Time? Oh, there's two of you going. There was all sorts of stuff to hit. And what was the other question?
Not what I asked. Did you actually hit anything?
Oh yeah, yeah, I hit stuff. There were cars out there and targets and stuff. Or was that the parking lot?
Next thing you know, he'll be shooting at a TV with some was that cordite in it?
Yeah. We had Tannerite out there.
Tannerite. That's it. That's what I want to say. Tannerite. I don't know why I said cordite.
Yeah, cordite's a little different, and you got to have a license for that.
Yeah.
Which, nah, I shouldn't talk about that. But, yeah, shot some cool machine guns. I was hoping somebody brought a P90 out, because I had a couple of mags loaded up to use that, but there was no P90 to be had. And of course, the next machine gun shoot they do is going to be on July 4th, but I plan on being busy.
Making his filet mignon.
It's something, hopefully. That'd be great if I did. But the Hernando Gun Club is just going to be on July 4th. It's going to be like sweltering hot. First off, it's several hours away from my house, so I am not going to drive there for a quickie and drive back. That's not happening.
That's what she said.
Dun, dun, dun. Ooh!
What are you doing in Allen?
March.
Damn right. Somebody, who was it on Instagram? They had a picture of the milk Best Buy date, February
29th. What's
there
every
to be
four
February
years,
30th?
Right?
Oh, was it February 30th?
Yeah, I saw one.
Once again,
half a sentence. I saw one going around where it was dated February 30th.
Dun, dun, dun. Where are you going to be on the February 29th, Rich?
Work. What day is that? Is that Sunday?
Friday. Hold up. Oh,
that's Friday? So I'm going to be at work?
It's going to be Saturday.
February. No, it's Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday's going to be the 29th.
So I will be home unless something special comes in that I ordered, and then I'll be shooting it.
What about you, Joel?
Actually, for part of it, I'll be at church doing a training session.
Yeah, how about you, Joe?
Well, this is one of the few weekends where I'm not going to have a podcast or a lug or anything else planned. So I plan on being at home. I might mow the lawn. I might yell at my kid till she mows the lawn. And I'll probably put together a 3D printer and take a nap.
And that's a lot you're going to do on one day.
Right. I might take two naps.
Well, there you go.
Naps.
All right.
Well, go to the grocery store.
However you do, have a safe one. I guess I'll play this out. We'll see you in a week.
Dan's yawning. It's time to say goodbye to February.
Yeah.
Goodbye, February.
Hear your promos. Take it away, Ross.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit lhspodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Public Radio! Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Some sushi pizza.
Delicious.
Get your pleasure out of that. Yes, sir.
I'm going to stop the recording, Joel. Say goodnight.
Stop the recording. Good night. I'm on call next week. Yay.
You have times when you're not on call?
Yeah.
I take it.
That's nuts.
I take it your root canal went well, yes?
Well, it didn't go badly.
He's talking just fine. Of course, that's probably what he sounded like last week. He was probably had his mouth packed full of cotton.
Something like that.
Cotton wasn't available that day. They got somebody else.
Who was it?
Ah, you know what? You know what, Joe? That's interesting that you got that because when I went to the last time I went to the dentist, I had to get like my second ever filling I've ever had. And sat me down and they're like, "So you're here today for a root canal?" And I'm like, "I don't think so." Oh, it just so happened they had two people named Dan coming in at the same time. And I didn't bother to ask about the last name. And oh my goodness.
Is that when you said double N Dan? I'm double N Dan.
Yes. Yeah.
There's that heater.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't on all day. And now I got to go turn it off. I don't know why it's coming on.
It's like the screeching goose in Pegwall's house a few years ago. Oy, oy, oy. Went to the doctor this week. I lost 30 pounds between visits, and my A1C is almost normal.
Cool.
Went from 6.5 to 5.8.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I just gotta keep doing this stuff, although today I'm not gonna go to the gym. I'm beat. I'm watching a lot of Data Dog videos this week.
Was Jeremy Garcia in any of them?
No, it's really funny. The guy who's in the video, the name of the guy is Matt Williams. I'm not joking. It's not the same one, but... And what's funny is if you watch some of the first ones, he's a little bit chunkier, a little bit thicker beard, and then you watch the later ones, I think I'm on the dashboard ones is the one I was watching today. And that one was he was much thinner and was much more closely shorn. But it's been cool. I think one of the things I'm most excited about is the synthetic monitoring. That's going to be awesome. We can talk about that on the show. We should get Jeremy on here and talk about Datadog, because I'm pretty sure that some of us might use it. I know I'll use it.
We used to be on Datadog.
What'd you go to, Splunk or something else? Or... Oh, yeah. Something cheaper. I want to do all the set up validation for our app, so that way when we have an outage or something, I just go to the page and say, "Oh, everything's up." Instead of having to log into everything manually. Automate, sucker. Had a Popeye's chicken sandwich for dinner tonight.
Did you get it delivered?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I did. Well, actually, what was funny is I was still on a call at 6 o'clock, so... So I just so fired up the phone while I was listening to the rest of the folks chatter on about stuff. And order dinner.
Rich, Rich. Where's Rich?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
His bird ate him.
Nah, the bird isn't that hungry.
Ooh.
Bird goes, wah, wah.
Oh, it's time to start the show. To where which Rich
there's a show?
There's a show? There's a show. All right. Ah, this is...
Yes, it's an extensive show. Full of a lot of bullshit.
8:46. Last show of February.
Next month, my son is legal, dude.
How? Is he going to be 21?
Yes, sir.
Wow, man. He's going to be out buying cases of beer and passed out in your front yard.
Yeah, I like, seriously
with
doubt
a bowling
that.
Ball in his hand and a Molson Golden in the other.
Yeah.
What are you guys going to do? Anything special?
Probably go bowling.
Go bowling. You get a pitcher of beer. Look at that.
Nah.
Not for you, for him.
He probably wouldn't like it.
He's never had beer?
Nope.
Wow. He just goes straight to the hard stuff, right?
Since you got my ass drunk at OLF, he hasn't seen me holding the beer. Memories.
Dan, I didn't know you induced alcohol into Joel rectally.
No, he only gave me about 6 drink tickets where I had about 6 Russian Imperial Stouts, so I was pretty gone.
Rectally.
No.
Oh.
He likes the Russians rectally. Or just the Imperial ones.
I thought that was Bernie Sanders.
Yes, all of them together at one time. Ah, okay, here we go. All right, we're ready to start this show.
Ready?
5. Give me a count around.